This morning on WCHL, local activists are concerned we might see the same fate as the Dan River with a coal ash dump under the Chapel Hill Police Station.
This landfill is totally unregulated, unlined, and contains known hazardous substances, including heavy metals.
UNC's faculty chair-elect says the public conversation about athletes has to change.
We shouldn't be personally debating them out in public like this. We should be figuring out a way to support them.
And is a recently proposed pay raise plan for North Carolina teachers the most significant in state history? These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Harbor Road traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the Carolina baseball team's confidence is high heading into double elimination play on the road to the College World Series. And
if you thought Catherine Romaine was too good to be true, she is.
That's this morning in Art Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:06 at WCHL. We have 68 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today of about 80 with a 50-50 chance of rain. We might even get a little storm activity this morning. State and town officials are investigating a coal ash dump located under the Chapel Hill Police Department headquarters, but some local activists say more has to be done to protect Bowling Creek. WCHL's Elizabeth Friend has details.
Stefan Klakovich with the group Friends of Bowling Creek came before the Chapel Hill Town Council last night to ask the town to take action to clean up a coal ash dump recently discovered under the Chapel Hill Police Department headquarters adjacent to Bowling Creek.
As with many other landfills in the state of North Carolina, this landfill is totally unregulated, unlined, and contains known hazardous substances, including heavy metals, that have leached out into the environment and will continue to do so until the dump is removed.
The site was used as a dumping ground for coal ash in the 1960s and 70s, before the town purchased it in 1980 to build a police station on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. An engineering consultant hired by the town last year reported high levels of arsenic, barium, chromium, and lead in groundwater samples from one of two testing wells, as well as elevated levels of barium in soil samples across the site. The Friends of Bowling Creek say they are concerned the town is not currently planning to clean up the coal ash dump. They worry contaminants will leach into the creek if the dump remains in place. But in a letter to the town council, officials from the State Department of Environment and Natural Resources, or DENR, say the recent findings have been misconstrued by local activists. They say there's no evidence contamination has spread to the surface waters of the creek and call for repeated sampling to confirm if heavy metals have in fact leached into the groundwater. The town will be required to submit a remediation plan to the state once the investigation is complete. But Klakovich and others question Diener's approach, saying the regulatory agency has lost credibility following the Dan River coal ash spill in February.
We need to do more than just what will merely satisfy Diener, whose reputation on coal ash regulation has been discredited on a national level.
Still, town staffers stress the investigation has just begun, arguing it's too soon to determine what should be done with the site. In the meantime, the town has installed silt fencing above Bowling Creek to keep the coal ash out of the water and security fencing to keep out the public. DENR officials will provide recommendations to the town council when review of the latest round of testing is complete. Elizabeth Friend, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A group of Democrats in the North Carolina House has introduced a bill that would forbid Duke Energy from passing the cost of cleaning up its coal ash dumps onto its electricity customers. The bill introduced this week is intended to offer an alternative to the Republican-backed plan proposed by Governor McCrory, who retired after working at Duke for more than 28 years. The Democratic bill would also prohibit Duke Energy from disposing of coal ash in unlined waste pits after August and would set firm deadlines for the company to close all 33 of its waste dumps scattered across North Carolina. The competing proposals come after a February 2nd coal ash spill at a Duke plant in Eden coated 70 miles of the Dan River in toxic sludge. In other environmental news this morning, North Carolina lawmakers have given preliminary approval to a measure that would allow fracking for natural gas to begin in the state next year. The Republican-controlled State House voted 63-52 to approve the bill on Wednesday, with a dozen members of the GOP caucus and all but one Democrat voting no. The House will hold another vote today before sending the bill back to the Senate, which approved an earlier version of the bill last week. Now, if the Senate agrees with the House changes, the bill heads to the desk of Governor Pat McCrory, who has already said he will sign it into law. Fracking, or hydraulic fracturing, is used by the energy industry to extract oil and gas from rock by injecting high-pressure mixtures of water, sand, or gravel, and chemicals. UNC students participating in revenue-generating sports have been thrown under the microscope, and the quality of the education they're receiving has been called into question. Carolina's faculty chair-elect Bruce Caron says the conversation has gone down the wrong path.
And the ones that are struggling, we shouldn't be personally debating them out in public like this. We should be figuring out a way to support them.
Those comments were made during a WCHL News special with Jim Hefner. Dr. Caron is the J.C. Burn Center director and John Stackhouse, distinguished professor of surgery at Carolina. He was recently elected chair as chair of the faculty at UNC and will take over from Jan Boxall at the beginning of the new academic year, which is July 1st. The faculty chair position holds a three-year term. The public debates increased when academic advisor Mary Willingham blew the whistle on research she conducted in which she says she found 60% of a sample of athletes at UNC read between 4th and 8th grade levels. The sample was 176 athletes chosen from 2004 through 2012. The way in which Willingham got the data has also been questioned, as she's been accused of receiving the names of the athletes along with the test scores. When she applied for her research, she said she would not be getting identifiable information with the test and that they would be coded. However, she says the reason she knows who the struggling athletes at UNC were is because they were her students, not because she saw names on the test scores. UNC has conducted a number of internal investigations to see where corrections need to be made. A number of external investigations have also been conducted, both at the request of the university and not, to find the flaws. Dr. Caron says he believes there's one clear-cut way to prevent future problems.
As we move forward, what we have to stand for is academic integrity, as opposed to against something, whether or not it's athletics or the performing arts or something else. Well, if we stand for our academic integrity and then we stand for making sure we have policies, procedures in place to ensure that that happens, then people can have confidence that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Stay tuned. At 8:30 this morning, we'll bring you the next segment of a four-part conversation between Jim Hefner and Bruce Caron. And this weekend, you can hear the entire discussion on Saturday and again on Sunday at 12 noon. North Carolina Senate Republicans held a press conference on Wednesday morning to announce a pay raise plan for teachers, which they're touting as the most significant in the state's history. Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger led the Raleigh press conference yesterday.
To attract and keep the best educators in the classroom, the Senate budget will contain an average pay increase for our teachers of over 11%. And that will be a permanent pay raise for North Carolina public school teachers beginning July 1, 2014.
According to Phil Berger, the proposed annual contract plan would replace what he called the archaic 37-step plan for teacher raises. He said it would increase starting pay to $33,000 and bring average teacher salaries up to more than $51,000. Senate Republicans say that the average pay for each teacher would increase by over 11%, more than $5,800 in the first year. The plan also gives teachers a choice. They can either keep their tenure or get the raises.
Under our plan, teachers who agree to work on annual contracts for the 2014-15 school year would move to the new pay scale and receive the substantial salary increase. Those who choose to keep tenure would remain on the current pay schedule.
According to Berger, the new stipulations would repeal an automatic loss of tenure by 2018, which was voted into law last summer by the Republican-led General Assembly. Where is the money coming from? Well, at Wednesday's press conference, Berger didn't provide any details on how the $468 million plan would be paid for, and that doesn't sit well with Democratic House Representative Greg Meyer of Chapel Hill, who represents Orange and Durham counties.
The rumors that we're hearing are that there's going to be massive cuts to Medicaid and the university system to be able to do that. As somebody who spent 16 years working in the public schools, I would have a hard time justifying giving a pay raise to teachers when kids won't be able to access medical care.
Meyer also criticized the proposed choice between tenure and a pay raise as a Faustian bargain. Governor Pat McCrory's choice to join North Carolina State panel that considers contested workers' compensation claims has cleared the House after Democrats argued again he was not a good pick when it came to workers' rights. The House gave its final confirmation on Wednesday to Charlton Allen of Mooresville to join the six-member State Industrial Commission after an initial vote on Tuesday. Allen still has to be confirmed by the Senate. Minority Leader Larry Hall of Durham says Allen's answers to a questionnaire when he ran for the General Assembly show that he would represent business interests more than those of employees. But GOP Representative Tim Moore of Shelby says Allen's work representing workers shows he perfectly fits fits the bill for the commission's post. The House confirmed Allen on Wednesday by a vote of 79 to 40. Maya Angelou is known throughout the world as a literary pioneer and champion of civil rights. But the students and professors at Wake Forest University saw Maya Angelou as a gracious mentor and inspirational teacher. Angelou died at her home on Wednesday. She was 86. Angelou was the Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University and was planning a new class this fall called Race, Culture, and Gender in the U.S. South and Beyond. Before that, she last taught at Wake Forest in the summer of 2011. She had previously taught a poetry and performance class at her home. Mary DeShazer, a professor in English and Women's and Gender Studies, says every student who took Maya Angelou's class said it was an absolutely remarkable experience. An American icon, Maya Angelou, dead at the age of 86. WCHL News Time, 8:15. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. Well, traffic has been moving along fairly smoothly this morning. Some of the usual congestion spots, but nothing really all that much out of the ordinary. If you spot anything unusual or that we're not reporting, call us in the newsroom, 919-967-8363. Or you can tweet us at WCHL. However you decide to communicate, please do so safely. And you can become a WCHL Road Warrior. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace serves the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. They're made with 100% filtered water, served at 34 degrees, so that great chewy ice doesn't melt, and they're guaranteed to taste great. And they're only 79 cents at Cruisers. Good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather brought to you by Crown Honda of South Point. 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. Cloudy, 50% chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms even this morning, and a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Our high today about 80. Not as hot as yesterday, that's for sure. Tonight, cloudy with a 50-50 chance for showers and thundershowers. And then our low in the low 60s. Tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies all day. 40% chance of rain. And the high tomorrow afternoon in the upper 70s.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial positions, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL.
News around town this morning. Preparations are underway now for the Chapel Hill Carboro Chamber of Commerce's biennial intercity visit. This year, the Chamber is inviting you to join them in Athens, Georgia. The idea of the intercity visit is to explore other towns like Chapel Hill and draw lessons that will help us develop better policies back at home. And of course, Athens, Georgia is another university-dominated town. About 100 people participate, including elected officials and other community leaders. Previous trips have included trips to Asheville, Bloomington, Indiana, and also Ann Arbor, Michigan. This year's trip runs from September 21st to 23rd. If you'd like to go, visit carolinachamber.org for all the information. Stop by Greenbridge on Monday, June 9th, to learn more about Chapel Hill's Rosemary Imagine Project. That is a week from Monday. The town is hosting two drop-in community review meetings on that day to gather feedback on the latest draft of the Rosemary Street Vision and Implementation Plan, a proposal to guide the long-term development of Rosemary Street. First meeting will run from 11:30 to 1 on that day, and the second from 4:30 until 6:30, both in the Sky Lounge at Greenbridge on 601 West Rosemary. And congratulations to Mort O'Sullivan, the founder and CEO of the Mebane-based company Arca, just named as a finalist for Ernst & Young's annual Entrepreneur of the Year Award. O'Sullivan is a candidate for the award in the Southeast region. Founded in 1998 and based in Mebane, Arca is an internationally known producer of cash automation technology for banks and retail stores. Time now for WCHL Championship Sports. Sophomore slugger Sky Bolt struck lightning in his Carolina freshman year debut. The going has gotten a lot tougher for the outfielder in his second go-round for the Tar Heels. WCHL's Matt Oaks caught up with Sky Bolt on Wednesday to chat about the state of his game and Carolina's chances this weekend in NCAA play down in Gainesville.
Bolt certainly had it all clicking a year ago. The Georgia native and son of a former college baseball player earned consensus freshman All-America honors by Baseball America, Perfect Game, NCBAA, and Louisville Slugger after starting 54 games in the outfield and batting .321 despite missing a month with a broken foot. But maybe it all came too easy. The infamous sophomore slump hit hard in 2014. To date, Bolt checks in with a mere .256 batting average and has only swatted 3 home runs this season. But the sophomore says he's matured and is gaining perspective on the game of baseball and life through the ups and downs.
It's a game of inches, and it's a game of mental mentality, and success obviously fuels confidence, but you know, it's good to see the results a little bit, I guess, but it's one of those things that you're going to continue to battle throughout your whole career, whether it be professional or life. So it's a game that'll take advantage of you, and it's certainly given me the better half of the stick the past month.
Due to the disparity in the stat sheet, many have speculated Bolt has been carrying an injury throughout the season, but the sophomore isn't making any excuses for his dip in performance.
You can hold on to an injury, you can hold on to, you know, an out like that as long as you want to, but the fact of the matter is I was playing some of my best ball this past fall, so injury has nothing to do with it.
Overall, as a team, Bolt credited a case of complacency in both the younger and older guys when asked about the unusually high 25 defeats in the loss column, the most since way back in 2001.
Well, I think it validates to the rest of the teammates, some of the younger guys, what this team's actually capable of and what it's supposed to be doing all along. You know, we had a really strong fall, and I think it put some complacency in the minds of some of us young guys. I mean, some of the older guys have been here and done it. Even they fell into the trap, I think, a little bit of saying, you know, we refueled what we lost with some of these freshmen. We got a lot of talent, but bottom line is you got to go back out there and play.
Heading into postseason play as an underdog is an unfamiliar position for the Diamond Heels, who are typically locks to host a regional at Bochimer Stadium this time of the year. Head coach Mike Fox's ball club hasn't hit the road for a regional since 2010, but Bolt insists his team remains confident. He sees things turning around at just the right time.
You know, you're starting to see that we're playing our best ball. And when you're playing your best ball, you're playing defense, you're pitching, and you're getting some decent run support, which we've lacked the first half of the season. Anything's possible with any team, and that's the way it should be at this program.
Carolina's winning pedigree and tradition can't hurt this young group of talent in the crucible of tournament play. Omaha is seemingly a yearly reunion for this program, but will the belief be there? Bolt thinks so.
But if we do get in one of those situations, you know, history of Carolina baseball is we're going to come back just as we did against Maryland, and we're going to continue to play. So they've got that stepping stone as a little bit of an example, but, you know, it's up to the younger guys, and certainly I know the older guys believe in what we can do at any moment.
The irony of it all is Bolt is one of those underclassmen he talks about, but he has a trip to Omaha under his belt. The question remains, will this next group of Tar Heel freshmen be getting theirs? Matt Oaks, 97.9 FM, WCHO.
Well, that's a word from Sky Bolt, and you talked to the Carolina pitchers, an outstanding pitching staff, Benton Moss, Trent Thornton, and Riley Hovis. They all are very optimistic about Carolina's chances. They say the same thing, that Carolina is turning it around, and they've got an excellent opportunity to go all the way to Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series. There will be more talk about sports than usual at the White House today. You've heard this story today on CBS. President Barack Obama will huddle with representatives of pro sports leagues, coaches, parents, youth sports players, researchers, and others to help educate the public about youth sports concussions. Some of that research is coming from the University of North Carolina. The White House says nearly 250,000 kids visit hospital emergency rooms each year with brain injuries caused by sports or other recreational activity. Kevin Guskowitz, a lead concussion researcher at Carolina, will participate in the summit today that will focus on finding new ways to identify, treat, and prevent concussions. This event is called the Healthy Kids and Safe Sports Concussion Summit. Guskowitz is the Senior Associate Dean for Natural Sciences in the College of Arts and Sciences and Keenan Distinguished Professor of Exercise and Sports Science. The invitation came after a series of expert interviews with the White House Office of Science and Technology, where Guskowitz was asked his thoughts about new directions for concussion research. And as I mentioned before, you will hear more about this throughout the day on CBS. It is 8:23 at WCHL. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Rod Sutz.
Art Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
If you thought Catherine Romaine was too good to be true, she is. This is Art Chansky with Thursday Sports Notebook. 22 Chapel Hill High School's athletes are going on to play their sports on the college level. And at the top, literally, is Catherine Romaine, the 6'2" center on the Tigers' 2014 undefeated state championship basketball team. Romaine will play her college ball at Bucknell, and recently she was named an Academic All-American by the National High School Coaches Association. The selections comprise 121 student-athletes from 27 states and 8 different sports. They average a 3.9 GPA, with 31 All-Americans coming in with a 4.0 or better. Romaine blew away that average. She has a 5.0 GPA and scored a 33 on her ACT exam. She was named to the 3A All-Star team in 2013 and voted the East Regional Tournament MVP and the most outstanding player in the 3A state championship in the Smith Center. Romaine was also an All-Star volleyball player for the Tigers under veteran coach Sherry Norris, who won her second state championship in basketball last season. Of the 22 Chapel Hill High Tigers honored last week as future college athletes, among them are three going on to join the UNC athletic department, including soccer All-American Alexandra Kimball, who announced her intention to play for Anson Dorrance's Tar Heels after her junior season. Frances Rulin will also play for the Lady Heels, and Luke Sioka will join Carlos Simano's men's team at Carolina. All 22 athletes were honored in a ceremony in Haynes Theater, orchestrated by new athletic director Tim Bennett. Here are the others: Hank Bolin, lacrosse, Illinois Wesleyan; Christopher Chang, tennis, Washington and Lee; Megan Dell, soccer, Virginia Commonwealth; Daniel Govert, football, Appalachian State; Anders Holland, lacrosse, Guilford; Caitlin Jones, swimming, Johns Hopkins; Casey McCunas, swimming, Rochester Institute; Heidi McCunas, swimming, Ithaca College; Brandon Nickerson, football, UNC Charlotte; Joey Raines, football, Methodist; Perry Ramsey, volleyball, North Carolina State; Evan Rose, swimming, Case Western Reserve; Rachel Samuelson, swimming, Randolph-Macon; Jamila Smith, basketball, South Carolina State; Laura Sullivan, soccer, Roanoke College; Joshua Takeman, swimming, Carnegie Mellon; Colin Villan, cross-country, Western Carolina; Chandler Whedon, soccer, Franklin and Marshall. Congrats and good luck to all the Tigers. This is Art Jansky. See ya.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, I've got two teenagers, so...
So you want to save money?
Desperately.
Well, AT&T's best ever pricing for families gives you 10 gigabytes of data to share and unlimited talk and text on 4 lines, all for $160 a month with the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network. Now, do your teens download much?
Obsessively.
Do they talk and text a lot?
Constantly.
You also get a $100 bill credit for every line. There's even plans for up to 10 lines. Sound good?
Insanely.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Get the new curved LG G Flex smartphone with 6-inch HD screen for immersive cinematic viewing and exceptional voice and sound. Visit store or att.com for details.
Pricing is for 4 phones on AT&T mobile share value with no annual contract. Credit offer ends April 30th. Activate new line and remain in good standing to receive credit within 3 months. Other charges and restrictions apply. Reliability claim based on analysis of independent third-party data regarding national carriers 4G LTE.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do box breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Al LeBeau, Cedars member since 2012. Here's what Al had to say.
People wait too long before they go into a retirement community, and all of a sudden they find there's a big, long waiting list to get in. They want to move today, but they should have signed up years ago and gone in. So we tried to cut it off at the pass and go in earlier before we needed to be there. It's really first-class operation. I mean, the food is marvelous. When we have inclement weather, they will bring meals over to you, and it's just one of those services we find phenomenal. It seems like there's no end to what you can order. Like, if you want two scoops of ice cream, it isn't an extra charge. My wife and I are from the New York metropolitan area, and while we're in Cedars, we are so centrally located, it's just a hop and a skip to the airport. You got great hospitals within easy reach, and of course, there's always the sports activities that you have between, should I mention it, Duke and Chapel Hill.
Thanks, Al. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
Today's offer at ourlocaldeal.com is from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's half off. $20 of delicious food and drinks, available now for $10. The Triangle's oldest brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night, and offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers. New for the summer is a Triple S Lager, a full-flavored Vienna-style lager perfect for hot Carolina summers. It's half off from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
Start your day with Ron Stutz and catch Stephanie Miller, 9 to noon, here on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
It's 8:30 and WCHL's time for the weather, brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. 70 degrees in Chapel Hill, cloudy today, 50-50 chance of showers, maybe even a thunderstorm this morning. Could get one before lunchtime, and a chance of showers and thunder showers in the afternoon as well. Our high today about 80, not as hot as yesterday. Tonight, cloudy, 50-50 rain, and a low in the low 60s. And tomorrow, we're looking at mostly cloudy skies, still 40% chance of showers, even in the morning, then a slight chance of rain in the afternoon as well, with a high tomorrow in the upper 70s. Grimble Jewelers has your new watch battery. If you need something really simple like that, or something really special like an engagement ring or that custom piece you've been dreaming of, Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Go see Berkeley Grimble at Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's in the Village Plaza on Elliott Road, right next to Whole Foods.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett. Testy hearing last night. The House Veterans Affairs Committee looked into VA hospital problems. The VA's Joan Moody faced Indiana's Jackie Walorski.
Our focus remains on caring for these veterans. We join you in this.
Mooney,
may I finish?
No, because I have 5 minutes.
Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
Investigators reviewed more than 500,000 emails and documents from up to 42 VA medical facilities. They uncovered a number of types of scheduling schemes designed to give the appearance of shorter wait times, a key factor in bonuses and pay raises.
There was major trouble in Phoenix.
Investigators discovered 1,700 veterans who were waiting for a primary care appointment but had not been placed on the electronic waiting list, putting them at risk of being forgotten or lost.
Arizona Senator John McCain says the head of the VA should exit.
If Secretary Shinseki does not step down voluntarily, then I call on the President of the United States to relieve him of his duties.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
71 degrees, 832 at WCHL, 50% chance of rain all day. Our high this afternoon, about 80. UNC students participating in revenue-generating sports have been thrown under the microscope, and the quality of the education they're receiving at the university has been called into question. Carolina's faculty chair-elect is Bruce Cairns, and he is the longtime director of the J.C. Byrne Center and also John Stackhouse Distinguished Professor of Surgery. He was recently elected as chair of the faculty at UNC and will take over from Jan Boxall at the beginning of the new academic year on July 1st. He sat down with Jim Hefner of WCHL for a long conversation, and now we present the next segment in a four-part conversation on WCHL. Again, Bruce Cairns with Jim Hefner.
Dr. Cairns, we have touched now on the question of the multiple scandals that in our last segment you were careful to describe as two scandals, one having to do with the football program and the other having to do with the paper classes and the FM scandal and all of that. You described a sort of an idyllic world in which we would all be focusing on how we could work together. But the university has not seemed to do a very good job of that. For example, they may say that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, but I think that we could probably say that that's genderless. So you would agree with that. I think we probably would apply to all of us. There's an immutable propensity to reciprocity in human relationships. And I've watched this, the acrimony develop, and wonder why UNC could not have brought Mary Willingham under the tent in the very beginning and made her part of the teams that are addressing these issues instead of vilifying her. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm not totally privy to all of the issues associated with this. I think that there were some complexities involved with what was actually happening and how it was evolving. If you recall, the faculty governance and the faculty executive committee wrote a report that was described sort of the academic and athletic culture. And that's really our responsibility, is to sort of look at those issues. I think that once we realized that there were academic issues that needed to be addressed, our focus was on trying to make sure that we had the policies, procedures in place to ensure it happened again. And of course, this included the honor system. And so the focus really was on how we can make sure that we're doing our jobs well. As you know, the way this issue has played out in the media, in the public eye. And that is, those are always difficult places to really sit down and have conversations about what needs to be done. I think that I was in the Navy, as you mentioned. So we use, whenever you have a difficult, challenging situation, and this is true in my world in the Burn Center, structure and hierarchy is important. And so there are reporting systems that are in place, and then groups that are in charge of units, various units, sit down together and discuss these issues. And then that's how problems are solved. If, however, that hierarchy and that system is not used, and instead we discuss this in a very public forum, then it becomes difficult amidst all of that discussion to really get that addressed. And so I think that there were folks who were involved in the center that Mary Willingham was a part of that were involved in all of these discussions. And so I think that was the way that it was being attempted to get resolved.
Well, I think the question, and we are listening carefully here, because you begin to play an important role in this, and I think we try to figure out whether you have an opportunity here because you're a new face, and a new face brings with it the opportunity for a reset. That's organizational development 101. We had that opportunity when Carol Folt and Jim Dean moved into their jobs, and things have not gotten better. I'm trying to listen through all of that, Dr. Cairns, to see if I can get a sense to whether you believe that this is canyon of disagreement is reparable, or are we headed down what we see right now, in my view, it's something of a train wreck, and can it be put back on the tracks? And that's why I ask you about Mary Willingham. Sure. See, I believe that if you feel, and this is important, that if you feel that Mary Willingham she's a staff member, not faculty. Is that correct?
That's right.
I believe. So she's not really...
Well, I don't know if she's still with the university now.
She has applied for reinstatement to the university, but she's...
I'm not aware of that.
Yes, that's what she told me before we did this interview. She said that she was reapplying, because I called to do a little fact check on this.
Yes, sir.
To see what her status was. And so the question is, if we view her... If we view her as a person who has committed violations and herself should be sanctioned, then that's one point of view. If we view her as a person who somehow had these concerns, that she had taken to various administrators, but somehow not been able to create the kind of dialogue that you just eloquently described, then we – it seems to me that we've got a problem that is only going to get worse. For example, she told us, and I have not had an opportunity to go back and get Steve Farmer, who I very much respect on all matters, but she told us that she first took her concerns about this topic to the Admissions Department Special Admits Committee and the Director of Admissions, who was Steve Farmer, in 2008, and to the Faculty Athletic Chair, Lisa Broom, in 2010, and never got any place. And that's why she felt that she had to take this to the public. And now, of course, it has exploded. So you're also a teacher, right?
Yes, sir.
What kind of grade do you give the university for its handling of these crises so far? I mean, is it if what we're doing right now is the best we can do, then we are headed for more trouble.
I certainly, of course, as you know, I have enormous respect for you and your opinion, but I would have to say that I see things a little bit differently.
Well, tell us about it.
Sure. So I think, first of all, that I've had a chance to work with the chancellor ever since she's arrived. I've been on the chancellor's advisory committee as well as with the provost. And I think you mentioned things like Trainwreck and Canyon and so forth. I know that the focus has been on dealing with the issues we talked about with the budget as well as getting the leadership team in and then trying to create the structural framework for how to address issues like this. As we've already admitted, this is one of the most challenging academic issues we have had. So I think that the attempts have really been made to begin that dialogue or actually have that dialogue. And in fact, I've seen it. I've been a part of it.
What part of it is challenging? You said the most challenging academic issue. So let's narrow that down.
It's the fact that what's been identified in the Martin report and the real issue is that do we have academic improprieties? And of course, we're still in the process. And so I will say that we don't know exactly yet. Mm-hmm. I know people really want to know what happened, and we do too. This has to be – we have a legal process as well as the Weinstein report that we're waiting on. We've heard the chancellor say we really want to get to the bottom of this. So I actually think that a lot of this is still being developed and we'll know more. Now, with regards to specific staff members and whether or not they have the way that those interactions take place. Again, that's something that they have to work within the system that they have. Again, I'm in the faculty, so I wouldn't be privy to how all of that works. And I would say that due process is always important. And when someone has a complaint and says that in my role, certain things I had a problem with this. I took it to this various area and didn't get a response. We have to use the systems in place to respond to that. Now, we're a public university and freedom of speech. People can go and say whatever they feel that they need to say. And then we respond to that in kind. But we have to use the due process system, which can be frustrating because it looks like we're not doing anything, we're not answering these questions, when in fact what we're really trying to do is be fair to everyone, even at the risk of looking like we're not doing something. But I think that we have really, and from my perspective, they're all fair questions. Anyone can ask whatever question they think is that they need to ask, and we need to answer them as best we can and move on.
That is Bruce Cairns with Jim Hefner, and that is part of a four-part conversation with the two, and you can hear the next segment of that long conversation tomorrow morning on WCHL at 7:30. Also this weekend, you can hear the discussion in its entirety on Saturday and Sunday, both days at 12 noon, 8:43 at WCHL.
Perry locked himself out of his car. Should he A, call his amateur wrestler friend with fists of steel, or B, get roadside assistance from the Geico mobile app? The correct answer is B. The Geico mobile app uses GPS, so Perry can get roadside assistance quickly without saying a word. It's like telepathy. Perry's steel-fisted friend would dent up the door and break stuff. Geico's mobile app is speedy and makes it easy for Perry to get roadside assistance with the tap of his finger.
Geico. Wherever, whenever. Just a click away with our free mobile app.
Imagine a life free from cigarettes. Would you have more energy, more money, more breath? Renee can.
I really have a lot more freedom now without being chained to the cigarette.
Well, it takes practice to become tobacco free. At UNC Family Medicine, our tobacco treatment specialists coach you through the process. People like Renee who utilize our nicotine dependence program know how powerful support can be. Join the team by calling 966-0210 or visit uncfamilymedicine.org.
This is Stacy Chapman at the Print Shop in University Mall. We would like to congratulate all those graduates out there with some great diploma framing deals. Our beautiful UNC diploma frames are on sale now for $125. Even the student stores and downtown shops can't beat that. And don't fret if you want to pick out your own custom order or match another school's colors. We're offering 20% off all diploma and certificate framing the entire month of May. Only at the Print Shop for over 40 years, your art, print, and framing store in University Mall.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Concerts?
Member FDIC.
Check. Outdoor movies? Check. Fresh and local goods? Check and check. Chapel Hill's new old neighborhood, Southern Village, has every ingredient for your perfect Southern summer. And guess what? Good times are cooking. Our farmers market takes place every Thursday from 3:30 to 6:30. And on Sunday, June 8th at 7:30 p.m., we welcome the North Carolina Symphony for an epic performance on the Village Green. So come have yourself a real Southern summer. Visit southernvillage.com for more information.
8:46 at WCHL, and we are all excited about the UNC Blood Drive, which is coming next Tuesday. It is a major event in our community every year, and we have Barry Porter here from the Triangle Red Cross.
That's right. Good morning, Ron.
And also Brian Anderson. How you doing, Brian?
Doing well, Ron.
That microphone is not working, apparently.
Testing.
Use that one over there if you would.
Good morning, Ron.
If you would, we got about 87 people in the studio this morning. If you would, Brian, tell us who all these people are.
Well, I brought my family with me today. We have Rebecca as my wife. We have Axel, which is my son. He's 12 years old, or soon to be. Livia and myself.
Ah, good. The entire Anderson family.
That's correct.
Well, first of all, I know that you have a story to tell. The 26th Annual Carolina Blood Drive is coming up. UNC has been committed to serving the community with this important drive since 1989. Been going on a long time. It happens on Tuesday, but Brian, tell us your story. Why are you so involved in this?
Well, I've given blood my whole life, up till since 18. And in college, I gave a lot of blood, and a lot of times you really don't hear the story about where your blood goes and how it's used. And, you know, this is an opportunity where my family was directly impacted by our daughter coming down with aplastic anemia, and it's basically a condition where your bone marrow fails and you're not producing your own blood. Livia, actually, at the age of 6, about 3.5 years ago now, came down with aplastic anemia, where she wasn't able to produce her own blood. And she survived on blood transfusions and platelets for months and months while UNC Chapel Hill hospital basically came up with a treatment for her where they were able to actually reboot her system, where her body was able to produce blood again. But she survived on all of the donations in this area, both blood and platelets. And so I'm out now and raising awareness and trying to make people understand that there are people out there. When you give blood, you really literally are saving lives.
Yeah, you're talking about people, and Livia not only survived, but thrived. You look great, Livia. Great to have you in here today. And I know that you're happy to be on the radio, right?
Yeah.
How about your brother? Is he shy? Well, he's away from the microphone. Axel, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
All right. I'm happy to have the former lead singer of Guns N' Roses in here. I know you never heard that before.
Yes,
but
I have.
This is a family affair, and there's a goal of 850 pints of blood, and it really helps to have testimonials like yours to help people bring it on home. It's not just generic numbers we're talking about here, but it's human beings. Let me bring Barry Porter into the conversation here. Barry, this is such an important thing that UNC does. It's the largest blood drive on the entire East Coast, and it's been happening every year since 1989. It's pretty impressive. What are your hopes for this year?
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the 850 blood donations, because every day in North Carolina, we need to recruit 1,600 donations. So in one location, next week, we need to collect or hope to collect half the state's blood needs for one day, because it's an amazing aspect of giving from yourself, letting your life's blood flow into a bag that then later on goes to a hospital patient. The Red Cross, Ron, doesn't need blood. It's young ladies like Olivia and others who are recovering from accident, traumatic injury, or these ongoing illnesses. This is very unique in Livia's case. To help save lives is why we're doing this.
You never know when you might find yourself on the receiving end of blood that people contribute. And the cool thing about this Carolina Blood Drive is held in the Dean Smith Center, which is really cool to do it on the floor there. And everybody's so nice to you. It's painless. They have refreshments for you after it's over.
That's right. Give you a cookie and a T-shirt at the end. You get to be on the floor at the Dean Dome. Don't get to make any jump shots, or Coach Williams probably won't be there moving you along. But at least you get to experience that particular view. It's great of the university and the community to make this its 26th year of happening. We really count on that for the blood supply that's needed by area hospitals, and it's a way in which you can truly make a difference.
Well, it's happened 25 times already, and over the years, the Carolina Blood Drive has collected 22,590 pints of blood, helping to save up to 67,700 lives, because when you donate blood, you can help save three people's lives.
That's basically right. Blood gets transfused into three, or manufactured in the red cells, plasma, and platelets. Each one, you heard Brian mention that Olivia got both platelets and red cells to help keep her alive while they were working on this great cure, or at least a remission of her illness.
A lot of well-known people as well take part in this to kind of publicize it. Eric Montross, I'm sure, will be walking around, and other folks. And Brian, thank you very much for coming over and letting us know about your connection and your family's connection. It's such a worthwhile event, and we need everybody in the community to get involved.
I think it's wonderful, and I just want to say that our family will be there sometime during the day at the Keenan Center. So if you want to stop by and say hello to Livy and meet Axel and myself, please do so.
Well, you'll recognize them because they're the really, really good-looking family that'll be there. That is Tuesday, and it happens from 7 o'clock in the morning until 6 p.m. And Barry, how do folks find out more?
Well, the most important thing to do is to come and be at the drive. We appreciate appointments. If you'd like, you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Tell them you want to schedule a blood donor appointment in Chapel Hill, North Carolina on next Tuesday. They'll get you an appointment, but we'll also take a walk-in. We're trying to plan and anticipate. When you got 850 donors coming through at one time, you need to have a little bit of a strategy to get people through. Take about an hour, but you'll help save a life.
Yeah, and sort of like going to a ball game. It needs to be somewhat organized, and you guys do a great job of that.
Thank you.
But thank you very much for coming in, everybody.
Thank you.
Rebecca, you too. Thank you. All right. And Axel and Olivia. All right. It's 8:52 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz at WCHL. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Today's WCHL Hometown Hero, another very special mom. Coming up in just a few minutes, that will be Donna Carrington.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise Dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and ways in comfort and style. Come see us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Always on the go? Let the design team at Best Tile make your next remodeling project a breeze. Our personal designers are here to help make your vision a reality. No muss, no fuss. And with a huge selection from around the world, you're sure to find the perfect tile right here without having to scour the triangle. With Best Tile, you don't have to put your life on hold to make your home beautiful again. Best Tile. Local store, global selection. At the corner of 15501 and Garrett Road. Or find us online at besttile.com.
Cruisers Convenience Marketplace is the official sponsor of Fountain Drink Season. Celebrate with an ice-cold Cruisers Fountain Drink today. Made with 100% filtered water and served at 34 degrees over their famous chewy ice. Guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Save at Cruisers Chapel Hill North, Glen Lennox, Briar Creek, and Powell Place all month long with special prices on Fountain Drink Combos. $1.99 with an all-beef hot dog or king-size candy. $1.49 with a Frito-Lay chip or Mrs. Freshly's snack cake. Cruisers. Good to go.
Limited time to pack up and move out? At the UPS Store, we have everything you need to help make your move quicker and easier. For a limited time, we're offering 25 to 50% off moving supplies, including four different size moving boxes, dish pack boxes with divider inserts, wardrobe boxes with hangers, packing peanuts, bubble wrap, and packing tape. To learn more about how we can help you with all of your packing and shipping needs, stop by the UPS Stores in Meadowmont, Chapel Hill North, and on Fordham Boulevard.
The UPS Store, where we have fun taking exceptional care of our customers.
Good morning. It is 8:55 at WCHL, and we continue saluting special moms in our community during Mother's Day month.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights the great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Today's WCHL hometown hero is Donna Carrington, and she was nominated by her daughter, Kieran Carrington. Kieran, why is she so special?
Well, she's really nice and she helps me through the problems that I have. And whenever I'm really sad, she makes me feel better.
How old are you, Kieran?
10 years old.
Okay, and where are you in school?
I go to McDougal Elementary.
And your mom helps you with your schoolwork and all that kind of thing, too?
Uh-huh.
I understand she not only helps you, but she helps other kids as well.
Yeah, she helps other kids and she helps my family through our problems. And she's just really, really nice. Everyone.
Now, I know that every day your mom is helping someone, and you guys, your family, you've had some difficult times, but your mom is always up and always positive and makes you feel the same way.
Uh-huh.
Tell me something else about your mom.
The big thing is that even in the worst situations, she's always positive. She works to make everything not as bad, so she basically helps us see the bright side of things.
Well, that's always important. Can I speak to your mom for just a minute?
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I was listening to her to make sure who you are.
Will you talk to me for just a minute?
I sure will.
Okay. Donna, you have an incredible daughter, Kieran. Tell me a little bit about your relationship with her. It sounds like she's a wonderful person.
She is. Kieran has a visual impairment, and so she doesn't let it stop her. Most people wouldn't know all of the things that she has to deal with, and she's just great. Everyone that meets her falls in love with her immediately. And she's just wonderful.
The main thing that came across from my conversation with her is that you are so positive. Even if there are obstacles to overcome, you always stay positive and you make her feel that way too.
Yeah, I do know it's been a tough year for us. We're living at the shelter. We're getting ready to move finally. But we're the longest residents right now. We've been here 10 months.
Wow.
It's been rough. Yeah, it's been rough. It's been really hard to try to find places. We got rejected for 8 places before we found this one. So it's been really hard, but you know, I think the kids need to stay positive and they need to continue doing their schoolwork and everything, and it'll work out the way it's supposed to.
Well, Donna, you are indeed a WCHL hometown hero and obviously a very special mom, and I thank you for doing what you do, and also thanks to Kieran for nominating you.
Yes, thank you very much.
Donna Carrington is today's WCHL hometown hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight, and remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
This month, we are celebrating dads and grads at Great Outdoor Provision Company. We can help you find just the right gift that lets that special person know how much you appreciate them. Father's Day is right around the corner, so why not surprise Dad with a high-performance Yeti cooler or maybe a pair of Costa Del Mar sunglasses? Or outfit that hard-working graduate with a pair of Chaco sandals, allowing them to pound pavement, trails, and ways in comfort and style. Come see us. We're at Eastgate or online at greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's half off, $20 of delicious food and drinks, available now for $10. The Triangle's oldest brewery is open every day for lunch, dinner, and late night, and offers local beef burgers, hand-cut fries, and fun appetizers. New for the summer is a Triple S Lager, a full-flavored Vienna-style lager perfect for hot Carolina summers. It's half off from Carolina Brewery in Chapel Hill. It's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough Weather, brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. It is going to be kind of a cloudy day today, kind of muggy, 50-50 chance of showers with a slight chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. A chance of rain all day, pretty much. High today, about 80 degrees, so not as warm as yesterday. And tomorrow, our high in the upper 70s, so cooling off again, but a big chance of rain all the way through that time. Cruisers Convenience Marketplace, serving the best-tasting fountain drinks in town. Cruisers, good to go.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Tar Heel Baseball in the NCAA Tournament. Catch every pitch and each swing of the bat on your flagship station for Carolina, WCHL.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. Drivers ran into their share of potholes last winter, but the economy hit a really big one. The government says the country's gross domestic product tumbled at a 1% annual rate in the first 3 months of the year. It was the first setback in 3 years.
This is completely predictable and a real fluke.
Like many other forecasts.